in high definition, or standard definition if you like, delivered on iTunes Podcast, or on another podcast app called Podomatic. You're listening to Jamie Way, Matt Olson, and Adam Drummond on The 5 o'clock Wave.
Okay, ready? On three, you do that, and then I'll do the intro. One, two, three.
Happy New Year, everyone! It's Adam Drummond from the 5 o'clock Wave, and I'm joined.
Do you reckon that actually sounded like one?
It did.
It did actually sound like one, and people would have gone, "Oh, who's blown one of those? What are they called?
Yeah, whistles, like a party whistle.
Party whistle. Yeah. With the fold-out paper thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get my whistle out at parties.
That's it. It's got a, it's a certain
yeah, there's
pitch,
a little pitch that you go to that's quite
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
And joined by my regular cohort slash co-hosts, now cohorts, Matt Olson and Jamie Way.
Co-hunts.
Hello. Nice. Very good. You know what I was thinking during the week?
Segway from our previous conversation
you know what I was
before we started
during
recording.
The week.
What were you thinking, Matt,
well,
during the week?
Well, because last week, first of all, I just want to say, last week's episode, for those of you who listened to it,
it's so long ago, I can't even remember.
Was right, angry. Was off tap, big time. Was way, and so if we manage to offend anybody.
Good.
Again.
Yeah,
I think what it was
is that we were all feeling that sort of pre-Christmas
merriment and
frustration.
And also, it's a silly season, we were feeling a little bit
silly. I think
probably
the two beers each we had at lunch before we
that
came and did
might
the podcast.
Have helped. But,
might have
but
to do with it
one and
well.
A half, Matt.
Yeah, I
left half.
I don't
a
even
beer.
Drink anymore, and I had a couple of beers.
Hey, by the way, because, you know, that is the original sin.
What?
Leaving half a beer at a pub.
Yeah.
Fine. Why didn't you tell me that last week? I would have been. I would have been comfortable. We wouldn't have had to gone into that whole big Christian bash. Speaking
also,
of which,
you having sin in your bum
of
hole.
Which, yeah. So it made me think, because you know it is New Year's, and we're going to reflect on the year that's been, the year that's passed.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was thinking, just quickly before we move on to the big world event stuff and all that kind of thing, but just the podcast itself, because this is our inaugural year doing the 5 o'clock Wave. And one thing I'm proud of more than anything else in our 21 episodes.
What are you
20,
proud of?
We are 21 today.
21. We should have a 21st.
21.
We should go back to the Duke after this.
Yeah.
We should.
Do a
but
yardglass.
What I'm really proud of is how many sort of groups within the community we've managed to offend. It's fantastic.
Have we though?
Well, let's list them. Christians now after last week. So there's one.
But I mean, only the really thin-skinned ones.
Right-leaning voters.
To be fair, there's a pretty big crossover between those two.
Okay. Racists.
Again.
You've offended racists.
Right. Homophobes.
Again.
Who else have we offended?
Germans.
Oh, I think the Germans came off pretty favourably.
Actually, no, that's true. We didn't offend any Germans at all.
Oh.
There
was that one guy.
Fat fucks who meander around in shops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of society.
Yeah.
So I think we've ticked off...
The unwashed, filthy
we've
masses.
Ticked off,
yeah.
But who... My question to you two is, who is left...
Ladies with smelly vaginas.
To, well, we got them last week as well.
Yeah.
Who's left for us to offend in 2015, looking forward? Who have we yet to offend?
The Dutch.
Mm-hmm. Americans? Have we offended Americans?
No, we can just leave them to it. They'll offend themselves.
They will eventually get to themselves.
We don't even need to put any input into that at all.
Children?
I think we've offended children.
Okay.
A couple of times by
that they say the darndest things.
Pretty
women.
I think I have
women.
But I love
we
women.
We offended women.
Not have enough, as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's just...
We need... Actually, this brings up a very interesting point, and it's something that I mentioned to you, Matt, the other day. We need to get a female co-host in here.
Yeah, we do.
We need to get a female guest.
We
do. Yeah, we
preferably
have a female
single
guest.
And attractive.
We've never had a
preferably
female guest.
Preferably single and attractive.
And we should...
Or at least she'll be single for a little while.
Oh, my God. So there's an open invitation.
We've had... Well, we've
on
had...
Board.
We have had ladies in the
well,
studio
because
before.
We'll fix her up with someone.
We had Beck Hennessy
in
here
in
with Joe
crew.
Williams.
Beck Hennessy was in here. She's very quiet. I don't know if you count. And Joe's...
And Joe's fiancé... Wife? Fiancé?
Yep.
What's her name again? I can't remember.
Joe and...
I'm really sorry. I have totally forgotten your name. I'm very, very sorry.
Quick, Adam.
But... I know...
Courtney.
Courtney.
Go on,
is it Courtney? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Sorry, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
We
do. We need to get a female co-host.
I know somebody. I know a female radio announcer who's she's been working down in Victoria. She just moved back to Wagga.
Wow.
She's very funny. She's done podcasts before.
Really?
Who is it?
Kim Bowden.
Oh, no, I don't know Kim.
So she's done radio?
She's done radio, yeah, yeah. She was on The Mix or whatever
very
it was
witty,
down in
witty,
Hamilton in Victoria.
Less sharp.
She's been on podcasts before. She's done the Zoo podcast. Do you know the Zoo? It was Dane Simpson and...
Yep.
And Dane? Jesse Andrews and Denny.
Yeah, Dane's
somebody
thing. Oh, great.
But yeah, she's been on the Zoo before a couple of times. She'd be great. She'd be really funny. So okay. We should bring her in the new year.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, we definitely need to get...
We should also let our listeners know, too, we are taking a bit of a break in the first couple of weeks of the new year, aren't we? Like, we're not
Yeah, we
back.
Deserve it.
Yeah, so this
21 straight weeks. Jesus.
You're probably listening to this around the 1st or 2nd of January.
Nursing a hangover.
This will be up. This will be posted. We're recording this a little earlier, but it will be up on the... Around that New Year period. And then we'll probably have a couple of weeks off. Coming back sort of mid to late January.
Yeah. I'm going to be back from holidays mid-January.
With a brand new season of 5 o'clock Wave.
Yeah. Brand new season, same old rubbish.
Same old crap. So, speaking of New Year's, what are your plans for New Year's, Jamie?
I am performing at the Wagga Live Gala, the big live concert type show that's happening in the Victor Memorial Gardens here in Wagga.
Yep. So if you are a Wagga person and you have a family or you just feel like you need to go and you want to go and do something.
Or even if you're not a Wagga person, just come down and see the jewel of the Riverina in full flight.
Is that what you call yourself these days?
Pop down to the city itself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jamie is the sapphire that sits on top of the crown.
I'm like
the jewel.
Of the
lapis lazuli of the...
Yeah. I like it when you say lapis.
Yeah.
I lap it up.
Sexy.
I'm the amethyst.
So yeah, it's a big, 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 big event. Lots of great entertainment. Well, it's got most of Wagga's, I was going to say Australia's. It's got most of Wagga's finest entertainment stock on show. There's a couple of people that won't be there having a little bit of a break.
you're not doing it, eh?
It's five. No, I'm not. And it's $5 entry, which is still ridiculously good value
for what you're getting on the night. Like, apparently, they're doing a bigger fireworks show. They're having a whole bunch more bands than they had last year.
Yeah, it's about 6-7 hours of entertainment.
It's huge
kids shows, rides.
Sam Moran, former Yellow Wiggle, Sam Moran, Wagga lad. Is coming. Yeah. I went to school with Sam the first couple of years of primary school, so I'm looking forward to catching up.
Did he walk around like doing the mashed potato and wiggling his hands and stuff annoying?
Yeah,
when he was younger.
Okay. Yeah,
yep.
So he was in training.
I played Sam's brother in a play when we were young, so little claim to Sam.
And I've never met Sam, but
and, you
I'm
know
sure
what?
He's
There's a little
bloke.
Bit of a 5 o'clock wave. Premature moment on the last year's video that I did of the New Year's Eve celebrations because I actually interviewed both of you blokes independently before we'd even thought about the 5 o'clock. In fact, I hardly even knew you, Matt Olson. We knew each other enough to get
close.
But
sexually.
Well, we'd met on and off. Like, we'd met a few times and crossed paths and stuff, but no, we hadn't
on
really
Tinder.
Sort of gotten to know each other at that point,
And I think I was talking to Justine Hogan or someone, and she had to get on stage, and then you came over and said, look, I'll take over.
Well, I saw a camera, basically.
You saw a camera, and you just was like a moth to a flame.
Yeah.
And Jamie was singing, and then he came off and had a bit of a chat.
Yep.
And it was great. And I was watching it the other day for some other reason, and I went, oh, isn't this is nice little 5 o'clock wave package that we could do.
I recall being
a little
excessively sweaty.
Three little packages. You were
very
sweaty
that
night.
It
was a warm night. Hey, let's talk about some of the events of 2014. And before we get into these world or national events, what are some of the events from your personal lives that you can reflect on in 2014?
2014. I started uni again.
Yes.
I started studying.
Yes.
For which I have a distinction average now. I got my results for the
You got one distinction.
No.
Two distinctions.
Yes.
Well done.
Awesome. Well done.
That's Thanks. Fantastic, mate.
Started to get fit again, lose some weight.
Yep.
Got medicated for my depression.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Wow.
That I've been wrestling with for years and years and years.
And it's obviously working.
Obviously working well the way
bite
that you...
Bite the fucking bullet and go and see the doctor. So that worked all right.
Yep. I've lost quite a lot of weight myself.
14 kilos or something ridiculous?
70.
What?
70 kilos I'm up to. 15 what? Of my own and 55 of someone else's. And, but that's okay. That's good. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes you have to go through changes in your life. Some are imposed upon you and some are, some you choose. And I've had both this year. So,
wow.
Yep.
That's,
you're speechless, Jamie Way.
Is putting it that way going to assist in the continuing harmonious relationship?
Oh, she knows that I'm you know, bitter and twisted. She already knows that. It's all good.
Wow. Well, I changed industry after 12
yes.
years. Mm. Went out on my own and got very confused in the process. What do I do now? I have no idea. But yeah. hang around with you guys a lot more.
It's something to do that's with nice. Social media.
Yeah, there's a little, yeah.
No, seriously, that's what I say to people when they ask, what does he do? And I go, something to do with social media.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I help people with social media. But we've also got a big thing coming in 2015, which is quite exciting, which is building and building and...
They go, which we'll so you can make a living out of that. And I go, yeah, presumably.
We'll be talking more about it next year.
It's a very nice
year.
Car.
Yeah. So it's been a year of change, hasn't
change,
it?
Change, yeah.
It's been a real year of change this year for all of us.
Yeah. Good on us.
Underpants.
I've changed mine at least twice.
Oh, wow, twice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've changed mine four times since the last podcast.
Four times in the last minute.
Yeah. And thanks for not looking, guys, when I did that. So some of the events in 2014, well, obviously in Australia here, we've ended on a very... sort of somber note, you know, we can't unfortunately go without mentioning that there was that huge tragedy in Cairns with the 8 young children that were slaughtered and the Lindt chocolate siege all happening within a week. And this is just at the round the end of 2014. So that's tragic and terrible. And I know that the whole of Australia felt for everyone involved in both of those situations. Feel free to join in. Pricks, like you're just sitting there.
What do you want us to say after that?
As an example,
I was literally thinking, no, screw you. I'm just going to let that air just go. Because that was like something out of, you wouldn't even finish an ABC news bulletin like that.
Yeah, Lee Sales wouldn't have the balls to pull that off. And I didn't want to be the one that gets people shouting him down for being in poor taste for amending to the end of your thing there. That, and we still have the Abbott government in power, which is yet another tragedy.
Like third,
that would be seen as capitalising on that kind of tragedy to make a petty political point.
Can we just say...
So I wasn't going to be the one to do
can
that.
Can we just say, like...
But seriously, though, fuck the Abbott government.
Can we say...
I can't believe Scott Morrison is now the Minister for Social
before
Services.
We talk, before we jump into politics, seriously? Can we just say that there have been some tragic events... It's very sad.
Ebola.
Let's now...
dead puppies on the highway. When you really want to fucking bring the mood down.
Let's now move on to some more...
Old ladies
lighter,
freezing to death in snowstorms.
Oh, well, Chappelle Corby was released from Thai prison earlier in the year.
She was.
Good on her.
Balinese.
And Kate and William toured Australia in April.
Who?
Kate and William.
I thought you said... Kate Williams.
The Duke
I'm thinking,
and Duchess of
no, Kate
I just
Cambridge.
Do not keep up with popular culture at all now.
No, Kate and William
Duke
went
and
around.
I'm assuming
we've had the usual visits of the
Hollywood
Kardashians.
We have had a Kardashian.
Excluded them for you guys.
The Taylor Swifts, the Beyonces, the
Robbie
Katy
Williams.
Perry's,
yeah, Beyonce was out here.
Yeah.
Robbie Williams.
And, okay, yeah. So we've had all that. So
do you guys know what
this
means? Winegate.
Yeah.
Winegate.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
We
That's
lost
about
the premier.
Barry O'Farrell.
We lost a premier.
Premier had to step aside.
Bottle of Grange.
bottle of Grange.
Yep.
That and was yet, a and scandal.
Yet we lost the Premier, and yet fuck all happened otherwise in state politics, really.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of actual things that impact on
living
us.
Living human Muppet,
you know,
Mike Baird.
As people and as constituents.
A man who's literally made out of felt cloth and super glue.
And yet in federal politics, we didn't lose anyone, and yet they completely destroyed the joint in a short shrift.
Yeah, they destroyed the joint. And not in a cool, like, feminist sort of Jane Caro type way, like in an actual, they really fucked this place
up. Yeah, anyway.
Timey kangaroo down sport in jail. Rolf Harris was jailed on 12 counts of indecent assault.
Lots of really good news.
The year that was news is really depressing.
Yeah, lots of good
news.
Isn't
there anything cool that happened?
Is there any good news?
Kate and William toured.
They had their baby. They had little George.
They had
Joffrey.
Little Prince George.
Three Oscars were handed out to Australians, both women. Who were they?
Was it Kathy Martin for Cozzies?
Yeah, two Cozzies.
Gatsby.
She got two. And Kate Blanchett.
For Blue Jasmine.
Woody Allen film. Great Gatsby.
Apparently a fantastic performance by Andrew Dice Clay.
In Blue Jasmine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ian Thorpe declared, "I'm not straight." In July,
he finally decided he was going to come out.
Has made the list, apparently. Yeah. The ice bucket challenge occurred this year.
Ricky Martin declared he was straight, but no one believed him.
What?
It will be hard to. It would just be hard.
I'm joking. The ice bucket challenge.
That was something that was both
fascinating, annoying,
excruciating.
And
I did it.
And yet for a good cause.
Yeah,
Let's have that argument again. Let's go back and relive that.
Well, I did it, but
I ponied up some
But
cash.
We all contributed money to the Australian ALS Foundation, which does actually do
I didn't
really
contribute any money. I just poured some water and ice over my head so I didn't have to.
Did you put any money in? ALS Foundation, the Prostate Cancer Foundation
of New South Wales, Beyond, Black Dog Institute, and I think Heart Kids as well.
Yeah.
And Sony. No, Xbox.
What?
Microsoft.
There was also a little bit of a fad going around with the NEC nominations this year that turned into NEC Myelinate.
Oh, yes.
I watched NEC Myelinate video again the other day.
That's right, because we did that, didn't we?
Which
Wasim did it.
Which Rosso kind of
started on his radio show, yeah.
Yeah.
And Damien did it. Yeah, it was a backyard
Ashes.
I nominated
Wasim.
I NEC nominated you, didn't I?
I can't remember.
I can't. Anyway, now here's something that happened. TV dads that are up on sex scandal accusations.
I mean,
the hits just keep on coming.
Fuck, this is so grim.
It was the year of dads from television. Robert Hughes jailed for at least 6 years.
There was the American guy.
Yeah, the dad out of
Seventh
Heaven.
Yeah.
Stephen Collins.
Yep.
Whose wife recorded him in a psychiatrist or a counselor's room or something. Admitting to this 11-year-old girl. And finally, Bill Cosby.
That's Dodge.
And Bill.
And Bill Cosby.
I mean, it's awful that
Is Bill Cosby still alleged?
Yeah, so is the Seventh Heaven dad, though.
So they're alleged.
He's actually come out and apologised for it. Who has?
Has he?
Yeah, in the last couple of days.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At the time of this recording.
You're right. That all of those things that happened this year seem a bit, you know, kind of dark and grim. So let's move on to the notable deaths of 2014.
The in memoriam.
So should we do it sort of Oscar style? And I'll put some, I will, in post, I'll put some sort of sad music over the top.
No.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Our most recent one, of course, Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Who died last week.
Last week? Last week, this morning.
New Year's Eve.
No, didn't we say we were recording this like...
No. Nah. No, it doesn't matter. We recorded the Christmas.
Oh, the magic of the podcast is me.
The magic of podcasting.
Joe Cocker died last week on the 23rd of December.
What day is it today?
You're listening to this on either the 31st or...
First or second of January. January.
What day is it today?
We definitely didn't record this back-to-back with the Christmas Eve one.
Today's the 23rd, but everyone's listening to this on the 1st-ish.
23rd, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Cocker died on the 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's today.
Yeah, but people aren't listening to it today. They're listening to it in a
week.
We were framing it as though we'd recorded it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
What's going to happen if, like, we're recording this today? What happens if, like...
We die!
I don't know. I don't
what
know
happens
the
if like the dad from Seventh Heaven jumps off the fucking Golden Gate Bridge in the next 7 days or something?
Can we insert something if that happens? Because I think we should splice it in.
Insert.
Oh my god.
Go on. Yeah, go on. Make the joke you're going to make.
He inserted
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers died.
Passed.
Yeah, correct.
Philip Seymour.
Joan Hoffman. Rivers died, but she still doesn't realise. She's still sitting around telling jokes.
Yep.
Weekend Philip Seymour style. Hoffman. I Philip remember Seymour that. Hoffman. That happened very early in the year.
And yet he'd already shot both of the Hunger Games movies.
Had he?
Back to back. So he's in both of the next ones.
He is, yeah.
Right.
And he'd pretty much finished his.
Of course, Robin Williams, I think around episode three or four.
Massive.
Three, I think it was. We actually did a tribute to Robin Williams.
That was the big one.
This is kind of bumming me out because I'd sort of forgotten.
Yeah.
Or like...
The guy that surprised you. Yeah, the guy that died that surprised me, who I was going to reveal, and then Jamie did last week anyway, was James Rebhorn, who is one of my favourite ensemble actors, and he'd been in over 125 film and TV roles, stuff such as Meet the Parents. I think he was the doctor. No, he wasn't the doctor. What was he? The father. The father-in-law.
Can't remember.
Whose father-in-law?
Don't know. The Game. The Talented Mr. Ripley, and on, I've written here in brackets.
Independence Day,
that was my favourite.
Some others, Lauren Bacall died this year.
Yeah. Mm. What a shame.
Doc Neeson.
Oh, yeah. From the Angels.
Doc Neeson died shortly after. So we released Backyard Ashes at the end of 2013, and Doc came to that opening night in Randwick.
Mm. Did he really?
Yep, and passed away... In early,
did you meet him?
Early this year. No, I didn't meet him.
They're not. They weren't related in any way, were they? Those two events, him coming to the premiere of Backyard Ashes.
I think the lawyers would tell us to say no.
I don't think so.
No.
The youngest Academy Award winner, Shirley Temple, died.
Oh yeah.
You know who the second youngest was?
Well done, Shirley.
Who was it?
Big bucket of
wind.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Haley Joel Osment?
She hasn't died.
Did he win an Oscar?
No.
And so he shouldn't.
But she didn't die.
Second youngest person to win an Oscar.
Still close to home. A few Australians in a row here. Philip Hughes, obviously. That struck the cricket industry really hard when that happened. Charlotte Dawson. Gough Whitlam. Mark Byrne, who was the celebrity agent.
Yeah.
And was
very
my
suddenly.
Agent years ago. And was the agent to Mark Grentel as well. Director Mike Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
Passed away. Charlie Wilson's War was his last film that he made.
That was pretty good.
He'd also done Primary Colours, Wolf
film. There you go.
Wolf. He did. Yeah, remember Wolf. That was very stylized.
He made
The Birdcage.
Birdcage.
Regarding Henry. Working Girl.
Fantastic.
These are coming to me now. Catch 22. And I think he might have done Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? As well, back in his early days.
Did he do like all those sort of really grim British working class things, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, that's Mike Lee.
Mike Lee. Yep.
Yeah. Right. So then we had Richard Keel. Do you guys remember?
Yeah, Jaws.
Jaws from Bond film. Just this year. I thought he'd been dead for decades. But anyway.
He was in
Happy Gilmore.
Which is a while ago now. Happy Gilmore with Adam Sandler.
And the original Maverick passed away. One of my
Jimmy
favorite
Garner,
characters.
Yeah.
Jimmy Gardner. Garner. Sorry. James Garner. Tommy Ramone.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Eli Wallach.
Died. From The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, my
Tuco
God.
From The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
98 years old,
wow.
Eli.
That's a pretty good innings.
Wow.
He's done well.
And a lot of films. And he used to pop up as the kooky little old guy in a lot of things. I think he was in Entourage.
Yep. Yep, he was.
Pretty much playing himself.
Yeah.
And Abe Vigoda is still going.
Yeah.
He's got to be 100. Like,
at least.
He was old in The Godfather.
Rick Mayall died early this year.
He did. Yeah, that was tragic.
And Bob Hoskins.
Wow. Fuck, this is like super depressing.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's great for reminiscing about the great things that they did.
Yeah, good radio.
You know. Mickey Rooney finally checked in. He was 123.
Was he really?
No. He's
93. He just looked like it.
And did all his own stunts on the night of the museums. Who else? Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was big.
That was
for me.
Big.
Like, for me, that was big.
Because it was bigger than Bill Murray.
Because he was responsible for, you know, Harold Ramis was someone who...
Groundhog Day, man.
Well, he was someone who contributed so much more than we, you know, than was obvious.
It was, yeah, that's right.
He wrote tons of amazing stuff.
Yeah.
He directed some amazing films, and he was just involved in the creation of some of the most, for us in our generation, males in particular, some of the most iconic shit.
Mm.
He was either directly responsible for or he influenced really heavily.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he will make a cameo appearance in Ghostbusters 3, because there would be a cool spot to pop back from the dead. John Henson, who was Henson's son, John Henson.
So is there a is there a grandchild, I wonder, who's going to take on the Henson?
Well, let's hope so. Because it's in the wrong hands.
But puppeteering and live puppeteering is really sort of...
Puppeteering in the wrong hands.
Hanging on.
In the wrong hands.
It's a visual gag because I'm doing a puppet with my hands.
I can see. It's hanging on by its fingernails because of digital CG. But thankfully there are still some... That's not bad.
People say... I don't know the words.
Are there so many
songs
about rainbows?
That's good too.
And what's on the other side?
Waka waka waka. See, that's my favorite character, Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear, yeah.
Yeah, he was mine
well. And just because he's a failed comedian. Yeah. And that's what I like
about
him.
I hated Miss Piggy. Hated her.
I didn't. I had a massive crush on her.
What?
I wanted to pork her.
Oh, you just wanted to do that line. Who else?
Some bacon.
Oh, Mr. Walton died. Mr. Walton from the Waltons.
He must have been 1,000 years
old.
Ralph
Waite died. He died at 922, so you were very close.
Unbelievable.
Sid Caesar.
He must have been 200 at least.
Wait till you hear this one. Maximilian Schell.
Oh, God.
And
oh, no, he was a bit young.
And you probably wouldn't know his name unless you were born 1940s.
Try me.
Russell Johnson, better known as the Professor from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So that was a list of...
is that it?
With not enough for you?
No, I'm just...
Want some more death?
No one else died?
Well, a lot more people died.
No,
but
famous.
I think our comedy.
Important people.
Probably. Oh,
you're only important if you're famous.
You said it.
I did not say it. I repeated it. That's what you just said.
You paraphrased, really.
Yeah, you did.
Really?
I mean, I was trying to be much more sort of direct and literal.
What you say is notable.
Turn it around.
Notable. Yeah. Of note. Yeah.
There's a lot of jazz people that I didn't put in there because I didn't
know them.
I haven't got them written down. Go through the 134 and cull your own little list.
Okay. Blind Lemon Parkinson. jazz musician.
Blue Shoes Maroonie.
Stinky Pete Sideboard.
So, Wobble Bottom Smith.
Anybody, now that you've heard the full list, is there anybody there that you'd like to dwell on for a moment that changed your life in any way? Or
maybe we could do a list of the people we would have liked to have died, but didn't.
Well, Koshy came fucking close the other day.
Koshy, like on Sunrise.
Sunrise, yeah. Well, that Martin Place was meant to be that was the actual target for the guy that did the Lindt chocolate building.
What, the Seven?
He wanted to get into Seven, but they'd upped the security in there since there was a threat of a beheading.
So he just wandered into
So he just went. He apparently scoped it out just in case one of the security guys was asleep, as they are in the movies, not in Martin Place or not. And then he went over to the Lindt Chocolate Factory. And Scipione's kid and wife were in there an hour before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Imagine the bloody... If he'd been there,
if they'd been in there when he'd gone
in. That's what I mean.
There.
The insurance that he had then.
No, it would have been the reverse. They just would have gone straight in, bang.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you pose, though. You're saying that if the commissioner of police, police commissioner, if his family was in there, would it have been a different circumstance?
I don't think so.
That's, who knows, possible.
I think they did everything they could. Like, they don't.
I agree.
I don't think it would have been any different.
I don't think it would have been different. The only difference is, I don't think he would have been running the. I think he would have been too close
to
what's going on.
No, he wouldn't have been running the.
And so somebody else would have come in and run the. And it would have ended up being exactly the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get on to something a bit lighter. Memorable films from 2014, 12 Years a Slave.
like just to bring it down.
Swept the Oscars. Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
It was a very good film, but tough going.
Yeah. Right.
Hard to watch.
Bit different to Django, obviously. Different tone.
Same
subject matter.
Wildly different.
Somewhat.
Same subject matter, different tone.
Yeah.
And not enough John Jarrett.
No. But I mean, that could be said of almost every film.
favorite film of 2014, Jimbo?
I don't know. I've got a few. I couldn't pick just one.
From what you said, would Guardians of the Galaxy be up there?
I really liked Guardians of the Galaxy. I really liked Snowpiercer. That was a good film.
I heard it, actually Snowpiercer was in here.
I was getting into some sort of fringy, not fringe, but like stuff that I wouldn't have normally watched before. Like this year, I really enjoyed stuff like I Know That Voice.
Hmm.
The film that John DiMaggio, the voiceover artist who plays Bender on Futurama.
That's great work.
He made about all his friends in the voiceover industry.
Yep.
That's really good.
Was Mark Hamill in that?
Yeah.
Of course.
It's fucking the best Joker. Ask?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Only Joker, really.
Just amazing. So, yeah, I watched that. The one that we talked about last week about the guy from that thing. About the ensemble actors, although I don't think that's
James
from this
Redmond.
Year.
He was in it.
Yeah, the film was called
one of them.
That guy from that thing.
Oh,
it's
right.
Remember we talked about it last
year. Yeah, we were
talking.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So that I don't think it's from this year though. But
have you got either of you guys seen Nightcrawler?
Yes,
I want to.
It's amazing.
Apparently, it's really good.
That's one of my top two. Nightcrawler, it's an incredible piece of work, and the other one I freaked out over, it's amazing, is a film called Tusk.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Kevin Smith.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Is it about elephants?
No.
Okay.
Walruses.
Walrus have also got tusks.
Hashtag yeah, walrus, yes.
So it's it's an amazing movie. It's I'm not even going to try and describe it.
Mm.
Okay.
I've seen the
is
trailer.
Is it a documentary or
about
no,
the story
it's,
of it?
No, it's fiction. Fiction. It's an incredibly outrageous story plugged into some just really clever,
he basically,
quirky filmmaking. It's
he
fantastic.
Came up with it, and did he fund it through the Smodcast network
it's
as well?
It's a Smodco.
So it's crowd
Smodco
funded
film.
Through his Smodcast podcast network.
I think he put a bit of his own
and a bit of his own cash in there. But basically, he didn't have like a dream one night about this weird sort of subject matter, and then he put it to his podcast audience. He said, should I do this movie about da 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 da? Use the hashtag walrus yes if I should, and walrus no if I shouldn't. And like the overwhelming consensus was walrus yes. So that was the whole bent of the publicity from then on. It was always Tusk, hashtag walrus yes. Yeah.
Wow. Last film of his I saw was that
very cool,
interesting little horror film called
Red State. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
cool. Yeah. Hey, there's a little slow burn film that came out. I think it was mostly missed by mainstream, but fantastic performances with Christian Bale and the other Affleck, Casey, Out of the Furnace, it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that's
I've good. Heard of that. Is that about the guys who come back from Afghanistan or from
Well, he comes
Iraq?
Back, yeah. So you don't see any of that, but he is just settling back into,
he's come
into
back
his
from,
community
yeah,
from Afghanistan.
I've heard of that.
And they're looking
I haven't
after,
seen it, but,
after yeah. their dying father, and they work in a factory and whatnot. But yeah, it's a kind of a slow burn film that builds up. It's mainly filled with a lot of dread, and you're just going, "Oh, when's..."
Actually, yeah, along those same lines too. And you're gonna laugh at me when I say what it is because I'm in it. Very briefly, you can see the back of my head. The most of the scene that I was in got cut, but it's a film called Felony.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Joel Edgerton, Tom Wilkinson, Jay Courtney, and it's really good. Like, it's a really good slow burn, like drama.
Yep.
Mm. Awesome, like really well drawn characters. Like it's fucking great. I saw it at a screening a while ago, and I think it's just coming out like in a wider sort of DVD and kind of iTunes and stuff.
Yeah, it is
now,
about to come out 31st of December. I think it's released. Joel Edgerton is in a lot of slow burn films. He and his brother,
yeah, well,
Nash,
they wrote the script.
Well, they did also a fantastic little Aussie film with fantastic performances.
The Square. Yep.
Yeah.
Which again is that slow burn and
it's David
kind of
Wenham,
a whodunit at the same
David
time.
David Wenham at his absolute best.
I'm sorry to name drop, but like when I was, the day that I was there shooting, I actually got to talk to Joel Edgerton about The Square. And like I said, man, I tell everyone that I can about this movie because it's fucking great. I really liked it. And he's like, oh, thanks, dude. I said, I know that you and your brother made it on like a shoestring, and like you guys wrote the script and worked for ages to
beautiful
get it up.
Shots.
And like, he was like stunned that somebody had seen it.
What? No, it's great. And it had good DVD sales as well. So obviously it's a bit like that with Aussie cinema. You don't necessarily see it at the box office, but you do catch up with it on DVD or
well
Showtime afterwards. But the other film that he was in, I think it was last year or the year before, and I don't think he wrote or directed it. He just starred in it. Oh, and it's about these two couples that go away, and one of them goes missing.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake, I know the title, but I can't think of it.
Oh,
Wish
man.
You Were Here.
Wish You Were Here.
Wish You Were Here. Wish You Were There. Wish You Were Here. Pretty sure it's Wish You Were Here. And again, like just the angst and the dread, and of course Animal Kingdom. That he was in.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Anyway, enough of Joel Edgerton.
The guy who made Animal Kingdom, David Michaud.
Yeah, who did that other bloody thing. Jesus.
He's doing something big in Hollywood at the moment. I can't remember what.
Did you watch his latest film, which was a follow-up, not a follow-up in plot, but his second film after Animal Kingdom, which was released this year?
What was it?
It's the one with Guy Pearce. And why do I do this? Can't you?
Oh, that sort of post-apocalyptic kind of thing.
Oh,
the Rover.
The Rover.
Yeah, the Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I've heard it's good.
Yeah, elements are good. Like, you'll either love it or hate it.
I've heard that Robert Pattinson's performance in it is
brilliant.
Quite odd, but brilliant.
Brilliant.
Like, he's
brilliant
kind of
performance.
On the spectrum.
Yeah, no, there's no way that you would relate him in this film to any of his other characters that he's done ever. Yeah. Very, very good. Very unique. Guy Pearce's performance is so on the money, right through to the end where he has this amazing close-up scene where it's just the emotion in his face that is conveyed. It's just brilliant. But the reason it's so slow, and my wife found it boring and she couldn't even watch it, is because he puts shocks in it that you're not expecting at times where the pace has been, oh, I'm about to...
And then boom,
something happens. So that was That's interesting. Good Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was a great one of the box office.
I quite enjoyed it. That was weird for a big box office movie too. Like the pacing of it and sort of the structure of it was quite odd for a big budget Hollywood movie.
Amazing when you think about the effects that go into it.
And the fact
that
most of the language in it is subtitled. It's the gorillas talking either in sign language or
it's true.
Just like grunting to one another.
There are more scenes in it than I think any other film made outside of like Benji the Hunted and stuff like that, where there's no humans. It's just, it's all just, well, in this case, mo-capped CG.
It's quite weird when the humans start showing up in the movie. Like you're so used to
putting aside Milo and Otis and Benji and those kinds of films. Another one I watched that I enjoyed enormously, but not for the filmmaking or the story or the plot or the anything. It was just purely because I got to watch Scarlett Johansson for Lucy.
Oh, I was going to say, if you said Under the Skin, Besson. I would come over and headbutt you. That was excruciating.
No,
I really liked Under the
movie.
Skin.
What?
I really liked it.
You're a voyeur.
I haven't seen.
I
haven't seen
what
Under
you
the
would
Skin.
Like about it?
It's super slow.
Super. Why do you would you watch
super
a film that is
slow.
Super?
But I just
super slow.
I just love the atmosphere of it.
Do you know what? It's actually, and I can tell you this for a fact, it is super slow in 2 speed.
Right.
Because I was fast forwarding it in 2 speed,
to
and
see
it was still
slow. Well, have you seen
glacial.
Lucy?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Have you seen Lucy?
No, we're
Lucy?
Getting it out.
Lucy was
Get
fucking
that.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's
Luke Besson.
Really
Luke
bad movie making.
It's fucking awful.
And the story. And
so what's happened to his career? Luke Besson or whatever his name is.
I don't know.
He just produces these days. He doesn't really.
But
direct. Did he direct this one though? Didn't he?
If you're a fan of Scarlett Johansson.
She's gorgeous.
Then
so gorgeous.
You know, if you just enjoy watching her sort
do things.
Of do
I've
things,
not the thing was like the thing cool. I liked about Under the Skin, I don't usually buy her in most of the roles that she's in. Like I sort of go, oh, that's just Scarlett Johansson doing
being her
secret agent or blah blah blah. But like I actually she's got this kind of almost this disaffectation that actually really worked for Under the Skin. Like,
yeah, I actually think that it's one of her best performances.
You can see that she's playing somebody, but
that
she's supposed to be
an enjoyable film
in the context of the film anyway. She's supposed to sort of be kind of walk here, say that, you know, like.
Yeah, well, no, I can appreciate her performance, but I definitely did not appreciate the film. Now, one certain film that had amazing,
she's very naked in that movie. And
she gets naked
gorgeous.
In the mirror.
Gorgeous.
And then takes a selfie and then ends up on,
amazingly gorgeous.
So a film that divided audiences almost 50-50 was a film that came out called
Backyard Ashes.
I don't think that was 50-50. That was 90-10.
And that was in 2013.
Gone Girl.
I haven't seen it yet.
No, David Fincher's.
Nor have I.
What?
No.
So I can say that we enjoyed 75% of it, and then 25% we didn't. The last 25% we could have left and not really cared.
Mm.
One film that is being hailed for Oscars, both in performance and film, that I don't think's come here yet, is Birdman.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see that. Yeah. And also
basically playing himself.
Benedict Cumberbatch film, The Imitation Game.
Yes.
The Imitation Game. That is also getting a
is
lot of
Oscar buzz.
Is that about
Turing?
No, I haven't seen that. I think, yeah.
Now, Jamie, when you looked at me like that, I wasn't saying Michael Keaton playing himself because he's not playing a different character. What I'm saying is it's based on
an actor who played a superhero.
He's had kind of crap roles and been washed up.
Yeah.
And then he's come back.
Apparently, so it's a bit of a meta movie.
Yeah.
There's two that I want to see that I haven't been able to see yet. I want to see John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Is that John Wick?
Yeah. Apparently, the Uber
action
is just like super off the wall.
Equalizer.
Crazy.
Did you see the Equalizer?
With Denzel.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Nowhere
near the series, though.
And The Hobbit. The final installment.
I still haven't seen the second one yet.
Lord of the Rings. Ubology. Which, yeah, is really apparently leaving test audiences a little cold.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
And it's mainly due to, and a lot of people starting to, even the studio are kind of admitting that it's just purely fatigue. It's fatigue in that there's nothing that can be put up on the screen that can top.
Mm.
In fact, most of the film now is just how can we visually top what's come before?
And that's, I think, what the big difference is.
But then you're losing all the character and you're losing all the story and all the themes.
But the big difference, I think, and the smart thing that Cameron's done with Avatar
is he's left
enough gap to bring it back. Whereas The Hobbit was, you know, a bit like Lord of the Rings. It was shot so that they were pretty much every single year everyone was like thrown in and then it would be released 12 months apart and still very close. A couple of movies. The Babadook. Have you guys seen that?
I want to see that.
Yeah, Australian film. Beautiful. Beautiful cinematography.
Apparently creepy as fuck. Just like scary.
Yeah, don't build yourself up too much on that element though.
No.
Okay, don't build yourself up on that.
There's been a couple of really good Aussie movies this year. Did you see These Final Hours?
No, but I want to see that. It looks
good.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's
got
cool.
bad reviews.
No, I really liked it.
Yeah, right.
Edge
of Tomorrow was this year.
100 Bloody
I enjoyed that.
As well.
Is that Australian?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh,
I enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow was good.
I thought it was great.
Very, very clever.
A couple of other movies that we haven't mentioned. Interstellar.
Yeah.
Was apparently a big one. I haven't
seen
that.
Very good.
It was good.
Yep.
The Guest. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
The Guest.
Apparently it's The Giver.
Nope.
Don't know what that is. Foxcatcher. Oh, that's the... That's Bridget Jones. What's his name? Colin
Firth?
Oh, is it like a spy?
It's
kind
a, spy,
of a spy movie.
Kind of like a spy... movie of some sort.
And yet this year,
Foxcatcher.
I'll tell you one thing though, this year was not a year for comedies, wasn't
Frank
it?
Frank was a comedy?
But
Michael Fassbender?
Yeah. But what I mean is
Frank.
Like...
Not outrageous comedies, you mean?
No, just ones that'll be sort of memorable and...
Horrible Bosses
I mean,
too.
Straight away, tell me a comedy that you
Chef?
Saw this year.
Chef?
Yeah. These are ones that they're more comedy, they're more dramedies rather than
The Wolf
straight,
of Wall Street?
Straight
is that a comedy?
Not at all.
No.
I'll tell you though, even though it wasn't a comedy.
Dramedies.
It had the funniest scene.
Oh, there's funny stuff in them. Yeah.
Where we were laughing so hard, we just had to pause it when Leonardo DiCaprio's wolf overdoses on those pills and he's crawling out of the clubhouse or whatever it was that drives his car home. I mean, that is just one of the best
scenes. Well, he's so fucked up on ludes that he can't move or speak properly. Yeah.
And, the Lego Movie was this year.
Lego Movie was great.
That's another Australian film, in a way.
No.
Is it, though?
No.
It was animated here.
No.
Sound was here. That came from Wagga.
No. It was... It was recorded. There were parts of it recorded here, but you can't. You can hardly say that the sound was done in Wagga.
No,
sorry, no.
I saw The Mule. Have you seen The Mule?
Yeah, The Mule.
That's a great movie.
Is that a comedy?
Yeah.
Now The Mule. Who
is Angus Sampson.
Angus Sampson.
Yes, that's right.
Independent. Yeah. Independently sort of very funded and comedy. Distributed. And
it's sort of Sampson, and were the Saw Boys like involved in that?
Yeah, Lee Whannell is in it, yeah.
And his mate?
James Wan. No, I don't think
so. Now, was this year Anchorman 2?
Yeah.
Which was not just great. Just did not sort of seen it. Come and to the party.
One of those ones where the marketing budget was a lot probably higher.
Oh, absolutely.
They probably could have spent some of the marketing budget on a better script.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, there's a couple of...
So this year was definitely not the year of the comedy.
Grand Budapest Hotel was one.
That was fantastic.
I haven't seen that.
That was fantastic.
I haven't seen the last few Wes Anderson movies. I'm sort of a bit over his kind of twee hipster rubbish. I really liked Rushmore.
Yeah.
But I was left unimpressed by the Royal Tenenbaums. Just didn't...
Yeah, didn't
have you watched? Have you seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Loved the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's just genius. And, yeah, amazing.
Captain America was this year. There's a couple of...
Captain America 2.
Winter Soldier, yeah.
Winter Soldier was this year. Correct. Was the Avengers or was that last year?
That was last year.
That was last year.
Sorry.
Lift your game.
Fury was this year.
Yes.
I want to see that.
Fury is...
Apparently it's really good.
Fury's good. Fury's pretty good. Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff at the movies I want to see at the moment.
Predestination.
Oh, yes.
That was quite good.
That's just come up on my iTunes.
The Spirig Brothers. That's pretty good.
So have you seen that?
Yep.
I want to see that.
It's quite good.
Actually, there's a couple of films with that sort
I've
of
met
name.
Sarah Snook. Like, she was at NIDA when I went up to do Grentel's grad show in 2008. Like, she's super nice and, like, ridiculously talented.
She's very good in that.
Insurgent. That was this year, wasn't it?
Yep.
Is it?
Or was it Divergent?
No, the second one is Insurgent.
Insurgent. They shot that
Divergence,
as soon as the ratings came out. Not the ratings, but the box office came out.
They started
for the first one. They grabbed all the cast and started making the second.
So that's another one of those movies that's in this tradition at the moment of young adult fiction.
Yep.
Because The Maze Runner is one of those.
Yep. The Maze Runner. Sorry, and they're making the
Hunger Games.
They're making The Long Walk. Which is that Stephen King story.
Oh, really?
They're making that next year.
Yeah, right. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I want them to make The Dark Tower. What's happening with The Dark Tower
series? That has been in development for about 20 years. And every man and his dog has tried to crack it open.
Mm.
I think even like guys like Ron Howard and stuff like that, who you wouldn't expect, it's bounced around to them. It's literally been in development hell.
Somebody who's got a bit of a streak of dark in them. You need like a Guillermo del Toro or something.
And somewhat,
like
something else that's been in development hell for a long time that is finally poking out and is going to be, and I was mentioned to this to you and you had no idea what I was talking about, which is in the early 80s, there was this dude called Frank Frazetta, who was an artist, a graphic novel artist. He painted a lot of the early Conan graphic novels.
Yeah, right.
And a filmmaker called Ralph Bakshi. Now, you've heard of Ralph Bakshi. Ralph Bakshi made the live action, the first animated version of Lord of the Rings.
Right. Rotoscoped one.
And it was a rotoscope. He shot all the scenes and then they rotoscoped the animated characters on top of the live action that they shot. And they made, with the same technique, they made a film called Fire and Ice. And it's a sort of a fantasy story about this hero quest who he has to go and fight through this sort of swamp jungle to get to this girl. And it's a classic kind of hero quest story. I can remember being a massive fan of it as a kid. I used to have it on beta tape.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, it's been in development. It's been in development as a live action sort of version of it for a long time. Robert Rodriguez.
Okay.
And he's finally got a green light for it. Rodriguez. Yeah, he's finally got a green light for it. I read that the other day.
Did either of you guys see Eric Banner in Deliver Us From Evil?
No.
Which is about...
It's kind of based on a
true character, a true guy, who is a NYPD cop, retired, and he ends up going out with a priest. Not going out with a priest, that sounds terrible, but going out at night with a priest to exorcise people afflicted with demons.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. And even though the whole plot is completely fictional in this movie, the guy that it's based on helped Eric Banner with his characterization, was there as a script consultant. And it's actually better than what a lot of the reviews are giving it credit for. Mm. It's got a lot of scares. Mm. And it's quite frightening. It's got, you know, like most of those Hollywood films, they kind of let themselves down in the last 10 to 15 minutes and get shit.
Third act problems.
Yeah. Where the producers obviously come in and meddle.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a little bit of a year in review for our 5 o'clock wave.
Exciting.
2014 wrap up on New Year's Eve. Any, what do you call them when you make resolutions for next year,
wow,
guys?
Resolutions.
I'll continue training for my half marathon.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
I don't believe in resolutions, so I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No, I don't. No, I think it's ridiculous to use the new year as a catalyst for change.
You should be your own catalyst for change.
It's every day.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Just going back to my marathon thing.
I'm just really curious why you asked us.
Because I know you dickheads would.
I think I have to talk to my sister about it because she kind of set up all the info and all their registration stuff. But I believe we can get sponsorship. I think we're raising money for Courage on Early Intervention or maybe Heart Kids or something like that. So
in January?
Up until
participation in the marathon.
Oh, I see.
In the
great.
Half marathon. Yeah.
Great. Well, I'll
so
go,
I'll
mate.
Set up
I'll
a
find
Facebook
out info
page,
about it and I'll
I know,
know
someone who might be able to help you out with it.
Some social media expert.
Yeah.
Somebody who works in the field.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later.
Righto.
I know a guy. Anyway, we better wrap up. Happy New Year, everyone. Please take it easy on the roads, wherever you are in Australia or around the world if you're listening to this in Germany.
And if you go shopping and you see Adam or Jamie, get the fuck out of the way.
Just move.
Because they
just
will murder
move.
You. They will murder you. They will shoot you down where you stand.
Now that the Christmas rush is over, I can probably sort of calm down.
They will cave your head in with the butt of a rifle.
Anyone listening
and
to this.
Leave you bleeding in the street.
Anyone listening to this who didn't listen to the last episode won't know what we're
irrelevant.
Talking about.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Just get out of our fucking way. Click, clack, front and back.
Yes, make 2015 the year to finally commit to being cool to one another.
Happy New Year to everybody. Ta-da.